Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and we hope you're feeling good. Mm-hmm. It is May 11th, 2023, 8:04 on the clock. Got your host, James, here, joined by Seth Habhager. And we are joined right now by our good friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning over there.
Good morning to you.
How's it going, Paul?
Not too bad. Are birds flying high this morning, too?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It is singing. They're singing. It's beautiful out there. Now I've got that song in my head. It'll be in there the whole morning. Paul, we appreciate the time. What has Mother Nature got in store for us today?
Yeah, you know, it looks like a pretty nice, quiet day. So still looking very similar to yesterday here with a mix of clouds and sunshine. And highs right around 80, south wind 5 to 10. Partly cloudy, mid-50s tonight. We do see some chances for scattered showers starting to build in as we get into the day on Friday. So more clouds, some chance for showers, 75 otherwise. Partly to mostly cloudy, isolated shower chance Friday night. And then that weekend outlook still keeping us rather cloudy Saturday. Some chances for a few showers. Nothing that's going to be too all-encompassing for the area, but just kind of some spotty shower chance Saturday. 72, 50 Saturday night with a few showers. And then still could see a few showers on Sunday. Some of the better chances might lie in the more southern parts of the state, but still can't rule out a few showers into Sunday with some clouds hanging on yet. Mid-60s, 44 Sunday night, and then 75 Monday. Low 70s, some sunshine Tuesday into Wednesday. So we do enjoy some nice spring weather next week, looking ahead in that extended outlook here, too. So, yeah.
It's a good way to wrap up, Paul.
Yeah,
that sounds really nice. Paul, real quick.
It does.
I don't like to bug you, but before we let you go real quick, we're about to talk about our favorite movie villains of all time. Did I say that? Does anybody pop right out the top of your head, favorite movie villains?
I'm going to show my Lord of the Rings nerddom.
Yes.
Sauron.
That's a good one.
I didn't even think of Sauron. That's a great answer. Oh, Paul, that's awesome. Nicely done, sir. Oh, good choice.
Hey, that's okay. Geekiness is welcome here.
Yeah. Wait,
so don't worry about it.
You're in good company, yes. Paul. You're in good company.
Okay.
Thank you, Paul. We appreciate you so much. We'll talk tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good, guys.
Have a great day. Oh, that's a great answer.
That was awesome. Yeah.
Be like Paul, everybody.
Yes.
424-2600. We are opening up the phone lines to all of you. 424-2600. Seth and I are going to get into this right now.
Yep.
Of course, a little later, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Be listening for that. But some movies expect you to root for the hero, but sometimes villain is just that darn cool.
Yeah, I guess.
MovieWeb.com put together a list of the smartest villains in movie history.
Mm-hmm.
So this is specifically smart villains.
Okay.
The website says, quote, "These smart villains aren't just capable of manipulating the protagonist, but they also leave the audience conflicted on whether or not to root for them."
Mm.
"Their cunning behavior is paired with a brilliant flair that leaves us stunned." The charming killer.
Yes.
This has a little bit of reality to it, which I think makes it equally scary.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is something that we've heard about serial killers many times over the years.
How charismatic
like
they are,
yeah. That kind of thing. Even like a Jim Jones or, you know, one of those crazies or something like that.
Yeah, very charismatic,
so this stuff gets a little bit, you know, that is, I find the best comedy is always got a tiny bit of truth in it.
Of course.
And I think that most horror is that way or suspense is that way as well.
100%.
Well, that brings it that much more home.
Yes.
To me, like when I think of the villains that I, because I don't know, I mine is clear cut. There's no question for me about this.
Okay.
When I think of the, and I'll get into this in a little bit more, but for me, the Joker is the ultimate villain.
Mm.
The Joker and Batman. Most villains, Lex Luthor wants to take over the world, wants to kill Superman, blah, blah, blah. Most villains either want to take over the world, or they want a bunch of money, or they want power, or something like that. The Joker don't care about any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Joker just wants to bring the Batman down to his level. The Joker is so gone that he thinks that this is a game, and that him and the Bat are the only real people in the world. Everything else are just toys.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is just a matter of that. And he has no interest in killing Batman. Could care less about that.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to break the Bat. He wants to bring him... Broke the Bat! He wants to bring him down to his level. And that's his ultimate win. That's mm-hmm. how the Joker wins. By making... Basically, by making Batman kill him. Like, yep. Is what the ultimate goal is and everything. And, of course, that doesn't happen. They go back and forth and all that and everything. But to me, the ultimate villain because of that, because you can't – how do you fight that? How do you compete?
That's a great choice. Yeah.
Let's take a call. Good morning. What's your answer?
Darth Vader.
Ah,
Darth
Vader. Great answer.
Always
great
one of the classic ones.
Yes, yes. Why Darth Vader?
Because I don't watch horror movies.
That's okay. That's a good answer.
That's a good one.
That's a good answer. That's a great answer. Thank you so much for calling and playing along.
For sure.
Have a great morning.
Thank you.
424-2600. That's just how easy it is.
Yeah, see? That's all you got to do.
Darth Vader's a classic villain.
Of course, he's one of the best.
I think on the other end of things with this one, because we do know what Darth's goals are and everything, but his goals change and his character changes. Mm-hmm. And you get the complete arc
of the character,
villain, good guy, you know, that kind of thing. The sympathetic villain, almost, towards the end.
Spoiler alert. Which is, I think you're okay on that one, dude.
I hope so.
But I think you're right because, okay, you start off, the first time we see Darth Vader, he's like the ultimate villain. Yeah, exactly. Scary.
So menacing.
Yeah, and just, you know, like irredeemable. He's one of the most evil things you've ever seen. But then you find out later on it changes. And in the end, he turns out to be, in the end, he had some good left in him. And he finds his way back. He's redeemed.
I don't expect that everybody is insane like you and I and have watched every Star Wars thing there is by
probably
now.
Probably not.
But I thought it was really cool in the Obi-Wan series that you got to see some darker Darth.
Some really bad stuff. Yeah.
And I maintain, not just with Star Wars universe, but definitely in the Star Wars universe, maybe just in the universe in general, there may not be a more menacing, insane, like a villain coming after you scene than the end of Rogue One. The last 2 minutes of Rogue One, you know how it's going to end if you know the Star Wars legacy.
Right.
But you're still, I've watched that movie a dozen times, and almost every time I'm watching it, I'm still on the edge of my seat. Come on, move. Go.
That's how good of a movie it is.
The other movies don't happen if you don't get through the door. Go through the door. It's so cool. It's so well done, and you get the perfect, if you ever underestimated Darth Vader after that scene, you will never underestimate him again.
Right.
It's just, I get goosebumps thinking about it. It's so cool.
I'm going to go back to the Joker really quick because I just thought of something while we were talking about this. The other cool thing about the Joker is he's one of those villains that whoever is creating, writing, or doing it can make him whatever they want.
Yeah.
There's been times when the Joker's kind of like silly. You know, if you go back to some comics, he's just kind of, he's got some weird schemes and he's kind of
Cesar Romero.
It's kind of silly or something like that. But then there's some that he's extremely menacing. Mm. The Killing Joke is a great example. Alan Moore's.
It's my favorite graphic novel of all time.
Which is, he's so sinister in that and everything. And then there's, you know, Heath Ledger's performance where he's basically an agent of chaos.
Iconic.
Yeah, where it doesn't, it's like, what do you want?
Yeah.
That's, to me, the scariest villain, the one who doesn't want anything.
Exactly.
They just want to create chaos. They just want to break everything down.
We know how to deal with the guy that wants to take over the world. We know how to deal with the guy that wants a bunch of money and power and all that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no answer to something like that. That's, to me, what makes him the ultimate villain.
That's the scary part, yep.
Looking at this list at number 8, Hannibal Lecter. from The Silence of the Lambs. A man of vicious words, depraved in his actions, and capable of turning the psychological looks of anyone he confronts.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing about Hannibal, I think, too, is killers aren't supposed to be proper. You know, we don't handle the proper killer very well.
Right.
What do you hear oftentimes, again, touching on reality, anytime a serial killer is caught, they were so normal. Oh, they were so normal. They paid their rent on time. Yep. They did blah, 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 blah. It's the same thing that happened to us as kids in the 80s. They told all of us, McGruff the crime dog, and they didn't know any better. I'm not blaming them for this. Mm-hmm. But, everybody pay attention to the guy in the trench coat under the street light. That's the guy you got to worry about. That's the guy. And we weren't paying attention to all the normal people, you know, quote unquote normal people.
Family members. Yeah.
That's what makes, I think, him so intensely scary.
Yeah.
People like that, I'm supposed to be able to tell who they are in society when I see them down the street or something. You couldn't tell.
He doesn't look like one. No, he's smart. He's erudite. You know, he's just, he does, you're right. Totally. It doesn't seem that way.
This is very interesting to me, and it brings up a lot of other things. Number 7 on the list, Amy Elliott Dunn from Gone Girl. I never saw Gone Girl, but I do know the movie, and I knew the premise.
Yep.
Amy is a feminist because she uses society's perception of women as a tool against the injustices faced by women in the misogynistic, male-dominated world, which makes her all the more intimidating. There's nothing like a female villain. Disney will tell you something about that. Pretty much every villain in Disney history is a woman.
So we can and we can unpack that. Yeah, you know, that's like what are they saying here? But anyway, we don't have the time to go through that. No. But that's a great example because if you know Gone Girl, I mean, if I remember correctly, the novel is from the husband's point of view.
Yes,
and it's very interesting. I don't know. It's still kind of a newer movie. I don't want to give anything away at the end. But how you know how perception is? It really messes with like what is the happy marriage? Is it like they seem like the perfect couple, or is it something much more sinister and dark? You know, kind of thing.
This is the one thing that takes me away. I would see a little bit of holes in my argument about the Joker, because the Joker, I think that what can be even scarier than all the other things we were talking about is when it's a real quote-unquote real person.
Yeah, yes.
No supernatural powers, no, you know, tragic backstory, anything like that. Just a human being. Mm-hmm. Like, that is probably the freakiest thing you can think of because, again, human beings aren't supposed to be that way. Of course, maybe we're getting away from that more and more now.
Who knows, right?
But the female villain, when it's done right, is iconic, is classic.
Mm-hmm.
Thanos comes in at number 6, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. At his core, Thanos seems himself as the courageous one who acts upon things that the others wouldn't. But his convert idealism makes him scary and indifferent to life.
Thanos was right.
Right, yeah, that's one of those phrases we see going around.
Yeah, right. If you see the MCU, you see it, you know, every now and then. Thanos was right, but that's one of those things. It's where his goals sound noble.
Yeah,
you know, it's like wow, he's actually trying to save something. His methods are horrible, and it's also one of those things: is how much is it really the goal, or is it more just about him, kind of thing? So, but I think that's why Thanos was considered one of the better villains in the MCU, because he actually had sympathetic parts to him,
where
you would say, actually, I kind of agree with him on that kind of thing.
The villain that makes you question, even if you don't agree, that makes you question you put it perfectly, the sympathetic villain.
Yep.
Like that's a difficult one. I think they did a really good job with that in like Law and Order and a lot of the like Criminal Minds and shows like that, where there was bad guys all the time, but then there was that sympathetic villain that you were like, oh, you shouldn't have done those things, but dang it.
You make a point. Exactly. Yeah.
Then there's Lord Voldemort, or sorry, He Who Should Not Be Named. From the Harry Potter movies.
Right.
Villainous as they come, he is obsessed with power and immortality, and paired that with magical genius, he's basically unstoppable.
Kind of boring, too, if you ask me.
He is kind of boring.
He's like, kind of a boring villain.
I would say, if I was if you're a fan of the books and everything, you ought to be thinking Ralph Fiennes, because I don't think he had a lot to work with. And he made that character. In the books, I did not find Voldemort intimidating, scary, or anything. In the movies, I did, because of Ralph Fiennes being an amazing thespian.
Yeah, just he's a stellar performer.
I mean, he's such a method actor. He got rid of his nose for those roles, man. No, he didn't really do that. Okay. Hans Gruber from Die Hard. A hostage situation on Christmas is something only the smartest villain in the room could think of.
Alan Rickman. There are certain actors that for whatever reason were just so good at being this way. Alan Rickman was one of the top. He always played such a good bad guy.
And Cancel Christmas. He's him and Christian Slater, Morgan Freeman, the only decent parts of that Robin Hood movie. And it's worth watching, even though it's horrible seeing Kevin Costner do Robin Hood
without an
English accent, for the love of God. The only person in human history that has ever played that role without an English accent, mind you. But it is worth it because of Alan Rickman's performance.
The rest of that movie is actually pretty good.
It's not so bad. It's not so bad.
The other actors are, like you said, Morgan Freeman's in it.
Morgan Freeman's very good at it.
But Alan Rickman steals the movie. Just swipes it from everybody.
My whole life, anytime it gets close to Christmas, I will have that line pop in my head. Him just walking into the red castle. I know we're talking about a different movie, but I couldn't help it.
Why a spoon? Why not an axe or a sword?
So good. Such a good villain. And a classic villain, again, for a lot of the reasons I think we've touched on.
Mm-hmm.
And number one that they have on their list is Jigsaw from the Saw movies. A serial killer who has zero kills and no blood on his hands, that's got to be something impressively scheming. That is another side of things. If you notice, didn't see a lot of modern names on this list. Didn't see a lot of modern...
That's
like,
interesting, yeah. Saw, sorry... I don't find that as a compelling villain because it's just I cannot suspend my disbelief. The complexity of these schemes, it just doesn't, I can't buy into it. It's just too much.
I grew up loving with my nod to Hitchcock movies. Mm-hmm. So I went into that thinking, oh, this is Hitchcock more than it is blood and gore. And it was a little more blood and gore than it was suspense.
Yeah.
But the first one I thought was actually very well done.
Yeah.
For the genre. Not one of the greatest movies I ever saw or anything like that. But as far as the genre goes, it was all right.
Mostly because Cary Elwes is an awesome actor.
Exactly.
And he pulled it off. Yeah.
That's where I was going to end up. That's where I was going to end up. But honestly, it was just so repetitive after that. And it basically, I'm not a big fan of the what if questions. I don't like what aboutism. I think it's the lamest, laziest way of doing, you know, talk anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. I have a backbone. But I will say, in that situation, was the suspense was very palpable and did a good job.
Yeah, yeah. The first one, I was like, I got off the train right after that one. I'm like, nope, I don't need to see anymore.
Any honorable mentions, or do you have a favorite villain? Do you have somebody that pops in your head? And again, 424-2600 to the audience.
I do have a villain, and I'm hoping very soon to see this villain in the MCU.
Mm.
So, Dr. Doom has always been one of the best. And the reason I like Dr. Doom so much, why he's the biggest villain in the Marvel comic book universe, hopefully soon in the movies, is because he has he's a guy who's obsessed with power.
Mm.
It's all about power for him, but he has an honorableness to him. That means he will not cross certain lines.
Yeah.
He is a man of his word.
Yeah.
Even though he's evil, if he says he's going to do something, he will do it. And the fact that, you know, there are times when he's had to team up with some of the good guys to do certain things and all I find him compelling, even though he's one of the quintessential speech giving villain, because these pronouncements, you know, he's like constantly, Dr. Doom, you know, I always refers to himself in that way kind of thing. But that's why I like him. I like him so much because he's got that sense of honor that not a lot of villains do.
The honorable villain is something that we don't always know how to wrap our minds around.
Right.
And I think that adds to the uncertainty of, well, where's this guy going? Like, what's he going to do here and everything? And Seth brings up a strong point. To all the villains out there, stop with the big speech at the end. Come on.
Just hurt yourself, man.
Watch a James Bond movie, for God's sake. That's how he gets away. Like, just get to the killing. Like, I need to do it.
It's become a meme now, revealing all the things at the end.
There's a couple of honorable mentions I'd like to get in here that I think are pretty good. I would say Agent Smith from the Matrix movies is pretty good. I think that's
Anderson.
A good one. Mr. Anderson.
He's so weird, but I love it.
Norman Bates from Psycho.
Yeah. Yeah. That's resonating with Wisconsin because it's based on Ed Gein. So,
right,
yeah.
Right. All work and no play makes Johnny a very dull, dull boy.
See, now that was a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good Jack.
That wasn't
right
bad.
There.
That was good, I've been working on it. I'm going to try to get it back. But that movie, now that didn't scare me as a kid because I was 7 watching it with my Nana. But I watch it as an adult now, and that is one of the more freakier things to me of a person who, good dad, good guy. Things happen, breaks down, and how close are any of us to a psychological breakdown?
Yeah, that's the scary part of that movie for sure.
And a strong honorable mentioned Nurse Ratched. Yeah.
Awesome.
I almost got Seth to do a spit take there.
You did.
Yeah, that's a good one, right?
For some reason, the actress is like, her name is just off on my brain. I can't think of what her name is. She was so good at those roles. At this very, you know, I don't know, very unsettling roles that she played.
Yeah.
And I can't remember her name. But anyway, but you know, you're so right. Nurse Ratched, yes.
The thing that pops to me about her, first of all, I should say, it's a dream role of mine. to play McMurphy in
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah. Top three dream roles for me to play that part. So I've watched that movie, and you guys don't want to know how many times I've watched that movie. You really don't. Or read the book, even, because I've read the book more than once. Just because I've always dreamed of playing this character. Louis Fletcher.
Louise Fletcher.
It was taking me. I was trying to not look it up. I thought if I could just see her face, it would do it for me, and it did.
She was great.
There's the person that's supposed to help you, the person that's in charge. And again, this idea of like, hey, this nurse isn't helping. Oh, stop it. She's helping. She's a nurse. Of course she's helping you. You're just a crazy person. But no, she's evil. Like, and she's so evil. So like, but again, I don't, I think maybe an even scarier part is I don't think she thinks she's evil.
She thinks she's being, you're right. That's it. She thinks she's the good guy. Of course, that's the old saw, right? Mm-hmm, you know, yeah, every villain thinks they're the hero in their own story. And that's exactly right. That's great.
I think it's a heck of a list, though.
Man. That's one. Yeah. Well,
let's not let these guys team up. And if they do, let's let Dr. Doom or somebody do the be the head villain.
Yeah, he's got to be in top. Yeah,
they'll give the speech, and then we'll have time to get away. Yes. Take a break. We're gonna get away and come back with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club on the morning show at WFHR. It's time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. What we're about to do is some celebrating. What you should do is treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now, 6 to 2, 7 days a week, and 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us. If you're celebrating a birthday today or any days coming up, get on over there. And Seth, what will they get?
Well, you know, they will get free pie, but I feel like I'm neglecting the other things at Misty's that are so great.
It's a good point.
So have a good lunch first.
Yeah.
And then get your piece of pie. I want you to make sure you're well fed on your birthday.
It's a good idea.
Do that first.
And they got a great menu for you.
Their lunch menu is awesome.
Love the prices. One of the most original atmospheres you'll ever walk into in a restaurant. And it's the people. The people are the best part of Misty's. You're going to love it. Get on over to Misty's, and a good morning to all of our friends over there. Seth, you're going to have to do a little work this morning.
All right, I'm ready.
I need a one or a two.
Two.
All right. That gives us our qualifier.
Oh, glad I did that.
Yeah, nice work. Tough. Nice work. You got the rest of the day off. actually, I've got a lot for you today. We have celebrating their 60th anniversary, a diamond anniversary.
Nice.
Ron and Kathy Szymanski.
No, very good. Ron and Kathy, congratulations on your anniversary. That's awesome. 60.
That's one of my favorite Polish last names, by the way. Szymanski. Great name. Ron, Kathy, enjoy your 60th. Congratulations, you two.
Congratulations.
That just got my romantic heart. That's a beautiful thing. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Mm-hmm.
And our qualifiers today, celebrating their 4th anniversary. They're on their way.
That's awesome.
They're on their way. Mike and Kathy Moran.
Oh, Mike and Kathy, congratulations. 4 years.
Yeah.
Is it one of the, you know, when you've been married for a while, it's one of those things where you say, gosh, it feels like it was only yesterday, and yet it feels like it's been a while, you know, kind of thing. How 4 years doing for you? I hope it's all right.
I didn't know that they'd have anniversary gifts for like that early.
Mm-hmm.
But for anniversary 4, the traditional gift is fruit and flowers.
Nice.
The modern gift is appliances. Okay. There you go. That's pretty good.
Here, honey, a new washer dryer, just what you wanted, right?
Yeah, right. May not make it to a 5th that way. Be careful on that.
I would say with the fruit and flowers. Yeah.
Mike and Kathy, happy anniversary to you guys. Get us more of these, everybody. We want more and more birthdays and anniversaries. Send them to info@wfhr.com or james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. You can, of course, direct message us on Facebook as well. Morse code, smoke signals, whatever you got to do, get us your birthdays and anniversaries.
Yes, indeed.
Looking at her celebrity list, Cam Newton is 34 today. Former Carolina Panthers first-round pick in the 2010 draft. Got to the Super Bowl in 2016. Maybe in football history, the greatest third and short quarterback.
That's saying something.
I mean, he fell down and you got your first down.
That's true.
There are plays where Cam Newton, like because he didn't have a huge playbook, that defenses would study him and be like, all right, this is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cam would literally say to the linebacker, yeah, I'm going over here. And then he did, and they still couldn't stop him.
That's something. That's Salem.
He had a stretch there where he was just, it felt like just a bowling ball at quarterback. Like, impressive quarterback.
Yep.
Never won the big game or anything like that, but quite an impressive career.
Yep.
Also, very weird hats. The weirdest hats you may ever see. living his best life.
He's got to be me. Got to be me.
Yeah, yeah. I know he hasn't officially retired. He is still looking for work, but I don't know if he's going to get picked up by anybody.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Jeffrey Donovan is 55. Michael Weston on Burn Notice. He was also the underrated in Book of Shadows and Blair Witch 2. Jeffrey Donovan is a great character actor.
Yes, yes, he is. Burn Notice was a fun show.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great in it. I loved it, but Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell was in it. Bruce That's Campbell. Why I watched it, because Bruce Campbell was in it.
It was funny, too. That was one of those shows that did great in the ratings, and nobody knew anybody that watched it.
I know. Like,
it was so weird.
It was a fun show, though.
It was at a time in Innocence Cable, you know, where we had so many channels. I don't think you'll have that anymore, though.
No. That was a different time. You're right.
This is this is even more fitting today. Martha Quinn is 64, original MTV VJ. Mm. She did news with Kurt Loder as well. Mm-hmm. And for those that didn't hear, they shut down MTV News.
They did?
It's gone. Yeah, they got rid of it. They did just like last Friday or Monday. It wrapped up. So that's kind of fitting.
There's a station that has not gotten that has gotten so far away from its roots.
Yeah,
it's like nothing like it started as. Absolutely
Can
nothing.
Can we stop with the 16 and pregnant shows? Can we please, for the love of God, stop with that stuff? I'm done with it. And they're still making music videos. They still do make music videos. It just doesn't seem like anybody plays them. Like maybe I guess VH1 or whatever.
It's all YouTube now, man. Yeah, it's all on. Yeah. It's all on. It's all online.
People no longer with us. Mort Saul. Born on this day in 1927, passed away in 2021, old school comedian.
Oh, my gosh. He didn't pass away till 2021? Mm. He must have been up there, man.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right. I'm not trying to be mean here or anything. But did he? Okay, wait a minute.
Maybe he did.
Yeah, I think 2021?
Wow. Yeah. Man, if you ever go back and listen to some of that records he put out like in the late 50s, the problem is he was topical, so a lot of the references you're not going to get, but he was so fast. On his feet, he was one of the best just extemporaneous comics I have ever seen in my life.
If I got this right, one of the early Canadian comics to make a break here in the States.
I think you're right,
And I remember him on Letterman. I remember him showing up on Letterman and asking, like, why am I here? Like jokingly, like, nobody knows me or anything like that. Exactly. He was hilarious. And you're right. He was so quick. His right on, was so fast.
On his feet. No one was faster than him.
And Chang and Ang Bunker, born in 1811, passed away in 1874. Those were the Siamese twins who traveled with P.T. Barnum.
Yes.
Such a interesting moment in history.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, a time that we got away from. The quote-unquote freak show and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We've become a lot better in society. It took people like that to kind of get us here, though, I think. Unfortunate as it is, they were trailblazers to show us how wrong this was to be charging a quarter to look at human beings.
Yeah.
Like,
quote-unquote freaks.
If without that example, who knows what we learn? Mm-hmm. We needed that to learn from it. And unfortunately, they were some of the people that we had to learn from. But I hope I'm not alone in thanking them for what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Because that we're not here and not the open society and the better society without that. Without those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And when we think of trailblazers, that's not the kind of thing we usually think of. But in essence, that's what they were.
Well, I mean, because of the negative connotation with a lot of it from when we look back, from today. Mm-hmm. But at the end, I think you're right, though. In the end, I think that led to it. So to some more openness.
You could put your pet on a billboard. We're going to talk about that when we come back. I'm just going to lay that
just
out there.
Just the pet?
Just throwing it out there.
Why would you put your pet up on a billboard?
I don't want to see my face on a billboard. I'd rather see my pet.
Oh, I want to see your face on a billboard. I'm going to start working on that right now.
There is nobody in human history who has ever said that sentence that you just said. Take a break. Come back. Got more morning show for you on WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to the morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. Got nothing in common. We're going to get into some fun stuff as we take you to the top of the hour. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
At 9 o'clock, we're going to, of course, have our good friend Madison come in with our Pet of the Week. Shout out to Current Technologies and our friends at the Southwick County Humane Society. I bring that up because we're talking a little pets right now.
All right.
If you got a pet, you've probably got a million photos of them on your phone. Now you finally got a chance to put them to good use.
Okay.
A company called Lamer owns around 150,000 billboards in the U.S., including a ton of digital billboards. And for the national and for National Pet Month, they partnered with an ad company called Shoutable to let people post photos of their pets for free.
For free?
Yeah.
Wow.
You can upload a photo at lamerlovespets.com. It's all one word, lamerlovespets.com, and add a custom message. There's a map so you can choose a billboard nearby, and you can also choose the date and time for it to play.
Mm, nice.
Technically, you have to check out, and it'll cost you $45. But if you use the discount code LAMERPETMONTH, it'll drop that to zero.
Oh, okay. There we go. That's nice.
They're accepting submissions through May 31st.
Okay.
So they're saying that when they tried it, it said that they were experiencing a high load of orders and they should try again tomorrow. So it might be one of those things that you got to keep trying, keep going to. Because I can imagine, I mean, if you were looking at things like I'm a young person and I don't know where to go with a career and I'm trying to look for something. Well, where's an industry that's growing? What's an industry that is building? There is a couple of things that have been going on during the before the pandemic, during the pandemic, after the pandemic that have not shifted, have not changed. They've stayed steady the same. Pets. Pets is one of the biggest ones on the list. People are more dog lovers than there's ever been.
Yeah.
There are more dog-friendly apartments, houses, businesses. You can't walk through any of Southern California and not see a dog dish on the side of a restaurant, a cafe.
Really?
Anything. Wow. Everywhere. Like, especially in Santa Barbara. You are not, and it's one of the things that California was ahead of the curve on. They were way ahead on this one. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that they weren't, and a lot of things that they need to work on.
Of course.
But that was one thing that they were very smart on. And you look at, like, any city, look at towns like ours. One of the biggest concerns is keeping our population.
Yep.
And increasing that population. But how do you do that? One of the biggest things that is pulling young people to communities is being dog friendly.
Yep.
You don't have 100%. To take my word for it. Go ahead and throw it into your search engine. It's the first thing that'll pop up. It's crazy, but it's the first thing that pops up. Does your town have a dog park? Is it dog friendly? Except, are there veterinarians nearby?
Yeah. Oh,
these kind of things. So it seems kind of silly, but if you're in business or if you are a business and you're not paying attention to that, time is just going to run you over. Fantasy sports, the rise of gambling on sports.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
a couple of things that have not changed much in this shift. Those have shuttered a little bit. They're coming back now around, especially with the NFL opening things up with gambling and all that stuff.
Right, right.
But the most consistent one is dogs, is being dog friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Animal friendly, I would think you can get away with, but it's very specific in certain areas about dogs.
Yeah, yeah, you're so right. So.
I should have never taught my fur brother how to text. Sam's texting me.
He's texting you right now, man.
Are you
going
to put me on the Lamer's love bag?
You'd never be able to see it.
How does he text with no thumbs?
Voice. It's all a voice. You got a dog translator on there? You're good to go, man.
God help us.
Do we have a dog translator?
No. It's just, it's squirrel. Oh, yeah. Okay. You saw a squirrel. Great. You saw a squirrel. Thank you for telling me. You didn't have to text me that. If dogs had a true social media page, that's all it would be. Pictures, like blurry pictures of a squirrel or the backyard, like what they're barking at. There's nothing back there. No. There was something back there, man. I was barking at something.
Their food dish is the same every day. It's just taking the same food dish. Same. That's what I'm eating today. Yep. Same stuff.
I could see it also getting inappropriate, like a lot of butts, a lot of, I can see a lot of that too.
Excuse me? What are you...
Hey, dog.
Hey, what are you doing there? That's very inappropriate.
Get away with that. LamerLovesPets.com is the website. I'm going to pull this up right now in real time. See what
so
this
where
is like.
Are these billboards? So
you can. So the fact that they got so many of them.
Yeah, right.
I imagine you can get pretty close. And
okay.
I've got to think by the law of averages, they've got to own some here in Central Wisconsin.
Right. The name is familiar. I think I know. I remember that from Minnesota.
Yeah.
So I think there are definitely in the Midwest for sure. So
I just don't know how. Well, I can't even get started on this thing. It won't even let me get started. Weird. I don't know how many of them there are around.
Yeah,
here.
I'd be curious.
I've got a call coming in. Let's take it. Good morning. You're on the show.
Yes. Could I get the office number there for you guys?
424-1300.
1300. Huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Why? Is there anything I can help you with? No. Okay. I'm not Pam. I'm not as good as her, but I could try. I could try to help out there. And stuff.
On the air, we are an information station, so right. You know, let's get that. Make sure, we got that information for you.
Live radio, baby, nothing like it. Take a break. Come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. If you weren't awake yet, hopefully you are now.
Good Wisconsin band, the Bodines. Yeah.
God, they played around here so much.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that in a long time, of course, but yeah, played around here a lot.
Good stuff.
We're going to get into a fun one right here. Seth and James with you at 8:48 on the clock. Weirdest questions we've been asking ChatGPT. Someone asked ChatGPT to name the most common questions people have asked, like, what's the meaning of life? What are some good ways to lose weight? How can I start a successful business? How can it be more than a feeling if it's a feeling? For the love of all that is,
you should ask
Boston,
that one, man.
I want to interview the writers of Boston, and I want to know, how can it be more than a feeling if it's a feeling?
Tom Scholes, we're looking at you.
If you feel it, how can it... I'll move on.
He can't let it go.
I feel like I would break ChatGPT with that question. The list that it spat out, the weirdest questions we've been asking a lot are a lot more interesting than maybe anything we've been asking.
Sure.
And actually, I have no interest. I refuse to use this ChatGPT stuff.
Right, sure.
For obvious moral reasons and things like that for myself. I'm not telling anybody else what
to do.
This is the first time I've actually thought about where it would be fun to use.
Yeah.
Just for fun. Just for this kind of stuff. I have phobia of spaghetti. What can I do to overcome it? Thank God you're not Italian. I don't know. I don't know how you answer that.
Phobia
one.
Of spaghetti? Okay.
That's rough.
I'm not going to make fun because you can literally be afraid of anything. A phobia can take, because of whatever, happened in your life. Right. So I'm not going to make fun, but that's just an odd one to me. Spaghetti, really?
Okay. It's odd. It's rough enough to have a phobia when you've got, you're one of two. It's like you and one other person.
And now they got to come up with a name for it. What is it?
Yeah. I'm convinced that my neighbor's cat is spying on me. What should I do? First off, yes, it is. It is definitely spying on you, but not mischievously.
No,
it's not sharing the information with anybody.
It's not organized.
These cats are just curious.
Yeah, they're curious. Remember?
Yeah.
Curiosity killed the cat. Don't kill the cat. Please don't do that.
No. One of the things that I would, nothing you put online is ever erased. You can delete it all you want. It's not erased. Mm-hmm. Everything stays. It's something important that we try to teach young people.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm just typing something into a search engine and I haven't even hit enter yet, I have a second where I think, I'm like, do I really want this in my search history?
That's always a good question to ask yourself.
I'm convinced my neighbor's cat is spying on me. Feels like one of those ones I'd get to the spying part. I'm like, no.
I'm not going to
hit enter on that one. No, I'm going to keep that in my own head.
some things, that's a good place for them.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep it right in your own head.
Not everything needs to come out of your mind. Yeah, right? No. Some stuff should stay up there.
Just stay right there.
I'm having dreams about being a tomato. Is that normal? Boy, I don't know. That's a rough one.
How do you dream? I'm trying to think of dreams, okay? And I'm trying to think of if I've ever dreamt I was a thing. I don't ever think I've had a dream like that.
No.
I've always been maybe someone else, but another person, mm-hmm. but not a thing, an object. I don't think I've ever had that.
I have such a wild, insane imagination that I cannot control. Yet in my dreams, boring.
Boring.
Just boring. They're usually real. They're dark or they're real or they're... Yeah.
Are they in color or black and white?
Both.
You have them in both. Okay.
I had them in both. Nice. Especially a recurring dream I have that's in black and white.
Ooh, interesting.
But it angers me. I wake up and I'm angry. I'm like, come on, imagination, work. This is our time. Dude, we can be anywhere we want. We can do anything we want. And you choose to read a newspaper. Thanks. That's great. What's going on in section two there?
Yeah,
exciting. There are, to me, one of the most beautiful things in the world is friendship.
Mm-hmm.
I love friendship. It's something that I didn't have a lot growing up, and so I value it maybe a little bit more than others in life in my adulthood and
sure.
everything. I immediately thought of, if my best friend in the world, or if you or anybody, yeah. I mean, you're one of my better friends in the world, comes up to me and says, James, I need to talk to somebody. I don't know who to talk to. I need to know, how many chickens would it take to kill an elephant? Could you help me with this? Like, and they're all serious and they're all dramatic. Or you know, man, I keep dreaming I'm a tomato. Like, I don't know what's going on here. Can you help me out? You want to be a good friend.
Yeah, of course.
You want to be there for the person. How do you not laugh at that? How do you not, like, wait a minute. Hold on, man. Hold on.
Hold on.
Wait a minute. Did you say a tomato? You got to be a good friend in that situation.
Yeah.
But you are biting the inside of your cheek.
Yeah.
Trying to keep a straight face. Yeah. Be honest about it.
Especially if they're totally serious about it.
Yes.
And sincere. Totally. It's like, no, I can't.
If animals could talk, which would be the rudest? Ooh. Now, there's a good question.
That's a two-part question there.
That's a good question.
First of all, you're of course, the animals talking thing. Which would be the... I think we would be surprised.
Yes. Yes.
It would not be the one you would think.
Yeah.
Maybe cats a little bit. They might be, you know, they seem that way, but I don't know.
It's an easy one to say. Yeah. I think I agree with you that that's a good one. I feel like geese, like ducks, like might be a little ruder than we'd expect them to be.
Right. Right. How about I'm thinking like something that shouldn't, you know, be like mice. You know, that are small and screaming, but the whole time they're squeaking at you. They're like insulting you the whole time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, you got a dirty floor here.
Yeah.
Hey, I can see crumbs all over the place.
You can't catch me.
Somebody isn't good at sweeping.
No.
What would chairs look like if our knees bent the other way?
Oh, God.
Man,
it would be the same, only the other way.
Yeah.
You just turn around.
Sometimes people just have too much time. Like, too much time. Way too much time on their hands.
Turning your knees the other way. Yeah.
What would happen if we put cats and dogs in charge of the government? You know what?
Cats take over?
You know what? Would... give it a shot. What do you say, everybody? Give it a shot.
Should we try something different for once? Should we just give it a try?
We have these stories all the time. A dog named Mayor of this small town or something like that. Has anybody ever heard a follow up story of the town is bankrupt and it fell apart or something?
No,
good point.
Good point.
Maybe we should give this a shot. I mean, do we have any? What do we have to lose at this point? You know,
yeah, right.
We've already pushed the envelope as far as I say that, but so, you know, we don't know.
So owls are considered wise, right?
Hmm.
So maybe we should put animals. But then if we could understand them, maybe owls are jerks, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just sitting there looking at us like, yeah, you guys think you're so cool. Yeah, yeah, I poop out my mouth. Yeah, that's right.
That's right. That's right.
That's the way to do it. Yeah.
I can twirl my head all around. What can you do? I like the idea of animals being confrontational.
Yeah.
Like for no reason whatsoever.
No reason.
They're like, hey. It's like, what? What do you
think?
You're
so good.
You with your car and your job. I don't need those things. All right, man. I was just trying to get to work. Like, leave me alone, crow. Would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
What? Okay.
Yeah. Again, too
why
much
fight?
Time.
I don't know. Why do you have to fight?
I don't want to fight an animal, period. I don't want to fight an animal, period.
I think... duck-sized horses would be adorable. Why would you want to fight them, first of all?
Yeah.
You just want to pick them up and, you know, and be friendly and nice to them.
Yeah.
If a horse-sized duck, I would run. I mean, I'm not fighting that thing. Are you kidding me?
I'm going to be honest here. A horse-sized duck, I'm probably going to try to ride it. I'm going to talk to the duck first because I'm guessing that these animals can talk. So I'm just assuming this. I'm going to ask first, but I am going to definitely try to, like, look, duck, I'm going to try to ride you. I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to see how this goes, and then the duck bites me, and it's over.
All of this stuff about animals. All these questions about animals. I'm not sure what the deal is, but...
Can you help me write a love letter to a tree? Can you help me write a love letter to a tree?
Oh, first of all, you're assuming the tree reads the language that you're writing in, which I'm not sure that they know how to read that specific language.
Feels a little forced, too. Like, do you know how the tree feels? I mean, does the tree love you? Because I don't know. I might be pushing it.
Maybe, but on the other hand, maybe getting a letter out there first is before you actually hug the tree, because that seems like it's invading their space. So let's get the love letter out first before you hug the tree, okay?
Good point.
Let's keep it civil here. Let's keep it above board.
Keep it civil, yes. Yeah. Two more for you, because I have to do these. Is it possible to train a hamster to play the guitar?
I wouldn't. I'm not saying no.
I think it's worth trying.
I think it's worth trying.
It's worth trying, at least. It doesn't work out, at least you tried.
Poor hamster falls in the middle of the hole there.
Yeah. It's all that'll keep happening.
It's falling.
It keeps falling in the hole. How's it going to hold the pick? And finally, can you help me find a unicorn?
Well, if you're asking, I think you've probably seen one.
Yeah, you're right. Yes.
I'm thinking you probably saw one at some point. So, keep reaching for the stars.
We are fortunate around here. Every Thursday, we are joined by our good friend Madison Rafter from the Southwick County Humane Society with our Pet of the Week. We never know what animal she's going to bring in, though.
We don't.
So she may be bringing in a hamster that plays guitar or a unicorn. I mean, I don't know.
If she brings in a unicorn, I'd be impressed.
You got to stay tuned to find out, everybody. That's coming up at the top of the 9 o'clock hour after CBS News. And again, a quick reminder, Hoosel's Rise to Music is open for registration. Get on over to Hoosel's Rise to Music and be a part of this. You only got to prepare 15 minutes of music. Mm-hmm. It could be any genre, any style of music. And Seth, tell them what they can win.
Well, if you're one of the weekly qualifiers, you will get a radio interview with us here on WFHR. You'll get to perform at Witter Field, Rafters Ballpark, and a $200 cash prize. Ooh. If you are the grand champion, you get a paid residency at Hoosel's at the Lakes, studio recording time, radio interviews, again, with not just us here, but with the Civic Media Network, mm-hmm. because you'll get MaxInc Radio. Sorry, yeah, I lost it there for a minute.
Director's Cut.
We're going to get you on all those shows as well. Perform again at Witter Field, plus another cash prize. And, of course, the title, Rise to Music Champion 2023.
It's artists supporting artists. It is supporting local. Bookmark your Thursdays. Shout out to our own Steph Schmidt and Hoosel's Rise to Music.
Yep.
Our friends over at Hoosel's at the Lakes. Find out more by typing into your search bar, Hoosel's Rise to Music, and join, register, get in on this.
Get in there, everybody. Just time is short.
We'll be back with our Pet of the Week here at WFHR, locally grown radio.